You could be listening to any other station in the world right now, but you chose the home of Dave's Gone By. Why? I thought you knew.
There goes the Daverhood!
The guy David Lefkowitz is here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, one and all, to the 321st episode of Dave's Gone By here on this holiday weekend. And we're actually calling this program Bank Holiday, not just because we're right into Thanksgiving here, but because of our special guest on the show. Now, normally, we don't deal on the program with things like money and finance and how to pinch your pennies and how to get through a recession. Not because these things aren't important, but because you can find them on pretty much every other show, every news program, every Good Morning America and Today show has a segment about how to make your dollar go further. It's fine stuff, but not what we do here on Dave's Gone By. However, I did come in contact with someone who has worked in a bank for 25 years, and that alone should be boring as all hell. But, if you think about it, if you work anywhere involving the public for any period of time, you're going to have weird stories, amazing stories, strange and scary things that happen to you. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool? Yes, we'll go on, we'll talk a little bit about money and how to get through the hard times and where you should be putting your dollars these days. But more than that, what I really wanted to hear is all the nutty things and all the completely insane people you're going to come across if you work for 25 years in a bank. And so our guest on Dave's Gone By tonight is Denise Winston, and she'll be talking about all the experiences, including funny bank robbery, scary bank robbery, and things crawling out of people's hats and bags and hair, and you can't even begin to imagine. You won't have to imagine, because Denise Winston will be here to tell us all about it here on Dave's Gone By. We'll also be going inside Broadway for news of the Rialto and a review of the new Broadway comedy by the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of August Osage County. His name is Tracy Letts, and his new play is called Superior Donuts. And, oh yes, a voice that you haven't heard on this show for maybe close to half a year now, which is kind of a shame. He is the owner and proprietor of Fancy Schmancy Balloons, which is one of our sponsors. Oh, by the way, reminding you that our sponsors include Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party and decorating needs, Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, located on Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners, and brought to you by Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway since 1944, telling you everything you need to know about the stages of New York on Broadway and off. Those are the sponsors. Wanted to get those in there before I forget. And Jeff Goodman, proprietor of Fancy Schmancy Balloons, also a theater critic, also a good friend of mine, and someone who hosted or co-hosted this program for the past year or two, most weeks, when we were back on Long Island Radio. So he's just back from a trip overseas to the Far East. Please welcome my very good friend, Jeff Goodman.
I guess, so you miss me now?
Miss you so, so much. I've had to do all these, like, almost 10 episodes without you since, I think, May.
I know.
It's so sad. I mean, were you on the Tony show with me back in June?
It was because I was in Thailand.
Right. So you missed that. You missed, like, the last show I did at WGBB.
No, you did some shows after that.
Well, no, I did. That was the last program that we ended up doing at the Long Island radio station before we kind of packed it up and then I moved to Colorado. And then I started doing them only on the internet. So I don't, you weren't on any of those. And it's been months, man. I haven't seen you in weeks and weeks. So how are you?
I'm fine.
You sound great. Now, even though you should, by all rights, be incredibly jet-lagged.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Well, where were you?
I've been to Thailand and Singapore.
Ooh. Now, these are places you've actually been before.
Yes.
So what time, what number visit was this for you to Thailand?
Probably, I think it was like 10 or maybe 12.
Really?
Yeah.
So you go two or three times a year, that's right?
Well, now I do.
When you first went...
It started, I went every other year, and then every year, and then twice a year. This is the first year I went three times.
Wow. What is it about Thailand that so draws you there and intrigues you? It can't be the weather.
Well, it is hot.
Yeah.
And humid. But some places it's beautiful, the weather. But Bangkok is hot and humid. But it's more the people. I just love the people of Thailand. I love, it's such a beautiful country. And I have lots of friends there now.
That's true. That's right. I mean, over the times that you've gone there, between the people who were guiding you and the people that you got to meet, you know, now they become old friends.
They like me. They really, really like me.
I don't know why. I have
no clue.
So what do you get, though, out of Singapore? How is that different?
Oh, well, what had happened is my friends wanted to go to Singapore.
Uh-huh.
They had never been to Singapore. And I was having a birthday. So they said, one of the guys, he works for the Novotel chain of hotels, and he says, why don't we celebrate your birthday in Singapore? I said, okay.
Yeah.
And he got a whole mess of rooms at, like, no cost.
Whoa.
And we all went to Singapore.
Well, what do you do in Singapore?
You tour. You see the Fountain of Wealth.
What is the Fountain of Wealth, and where can I find it?
It is in Suntec City. It is a fountain that goes inward upon itself. So, and it's water flow. It's like, you know, the whole thing with feng shui and the water.
Oh, yeah.
You know, water is good for money. And, of course, we went to the Esplanade, which is beautiful.
Cool.
You know, and they had... The Esplanade has what I call the Dorian, because it's a building that is actually shaped like a Dorian, which is a big smelly fruit out there.
Oh, I know the Dorians. Yes, they had those in Aruba.
Yeah.
They were stinky as hell.
It's shaped like a Dorian. And it's so funny because it's a big smelly fruit, and it's like the Performing Arts Center. So there's some big smelly fruits inside.
No explanations necessary. Thank you.
Oh, you're funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff Goodman. Oh, well, that sounds like a wonderful time. And having been to Thailand then so many times before this, did you do anything different this time?
Well, this time I spent a little time in Bangkok, and then I went to Pattaya for the first time in about 5 years. Which is actually a two and a half hour drive from Bangkok, and it's like a beach community.
Oh, okay.
And it's nice, and it's actually cleaning up its act, because it used to be too much all about the sex trade, and I really didn't like it, but...
Sure you didn't, Jeff. Sure you didn't.
No, I really don't.
Okay.
Enough already. you would get tired of it, too. It's just like, it's too much in your face, you know?
Well, it doesn't have to be in my face. It can be elsewhere on me, but...
Okay, well, you're walking down any street. Hello, welcome, come on in.
That actually sounds like Loveland, Colorado. No.
Oh, did you move into the red light district there?
No, I don't know if there is a red light district. Actually, there is. There's one dirty book magazine video store, not at least one that I passed, that's literally on the borderline of the town. All the way on the east side, kind of like literally near the railroad tracks. But it's not a district. It's a building. It's like they have a red light store.
And they have a 64-year-old woman in ripped stockings going, come on, honey, want to go take mama for a ride?
I wish. I'd be there every day, let me tell you. That's my B. Arthur complex. Oh, yeah. Because if you can't be good, be Arthur. But, I don't know.
Well, there's a T-shirt, strangely. You should say that. There's a T-shirt from Patia that says, good boys go to heaven, bad boys go to Patia.
Oh. But you said that it's a little better now. So now the hookers are on every other block, or what?
It has... It's cleaned up a little bit, and also... It's. I went to a different section.
Yeah.
Which is not quite as rampant.
Okay.
Like when I went, I actually rented someone's condo.
Condo or condom?
No, condo.
Okay. All right. I don't know how clean they are over there. Maybe, you know, for 25 cents you can rent somebody's condom, half used, you know. You turn it inside out, it still is.
I don't even talk to you when you get like that. I feel like I have to be like your parents at this point. David, please.
So, all right, you rented a condo in Patia.
No, and it was beautiful. I had a pool, you know,
ooh,
gigantic pool.
Yeah.
it was me and the millions of other non-Thai people who were there.
Okay.
And it was just lovely. And I walked on the beach, and it was, you know, I got massages every day.
I'm sure you did.
It was brilliant. And they had a wonderful show there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had a wonderful cabaret show where the cabarets in both Bangkok and Pattaya are always in the gay district, of course. And sometimes they're ladyboys, and they're just regular dancers. And they have a new show, like, every night.
Whoa.
They lip sync to songs, and they make up these great, they have few wonderful costumes, and all these dances are just terrific.
This is not, though, the theater show, or is
no.
it? No. You also went to see a show in an actual theater
yes,
type
in
theater.
In Bangkok.
Yeah.
Bangkok is finally waking up to the world of musical theater.
Okay.
And last time I was there, I saw their first attempt of an original musical.
Uh-huh.
I think it was called Ma Na or Na Ma.
And we talked about it on the air. I'm not remembering
that. A woman who died, and then she is a ghost. And I don't know. It's a whole big but a very famous toy story.
I remember the hit song from that show. Ma Na Ma Na Do 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 Ma Na Ma Na Do Do Do. Okay, sorry.
Okay. So anyway, but that show turned out to be okay because my friends explained to me what the story was about, and I kind of followed it. It had nice music, and it had wonderful talent in it, and I was okay. So this time he goes, oh, we're going to see another show, and I said, okay, great. He says, don't worry, it's called Breathe the Musical.
Breathe?
I said, okay.
Okay.
He goes, don't worry, there's no book. It's like it's like a Mamma Mia or, you know, just
Moving Out or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a jukebox musical. It's all this one guy's music who writes the Thai love songs, and there's not much of a story to it.
Okay.
And you'll enjoy it. I said, okay. Now, the one thing my friend Pop does is he ends up buying his tickets first. So then when he goes, and then he asks me, do I want to go? Which I didn't think he did this time, but he did it to me again. And of course, so his seats are nowhere close to where I'm sitting.
Oh, okay.
I'm sitting in the middle of, you know, Thai people I don't know. And it's a lovely theater, but still I'm in the middle of somebody I don't know. And he's told me, okay, this musical, I don't have to know anything, it's just there. It's just going to be music. And it opens up, and I get the fact that there's hourglasses, and I think, oh, this is the gates of heaven or something.
Yeah.
He's talking to these people who are not there, so I'm assuming they're the spirits that he's talking to, and he seems to want to get out of heaven for some reason. And I got it all right, believe it or not.
Oh, okay, good.
You know, because sometimes, actually, you don't have to know the words to figure out what a musical is about.
Now, let me ask you, how big was that theater? Is it like
The theater is like a 3,000-seat theater. It's beautiful and huge.
Just so people know, a Broadway theater can be anything from about 499 seats, generally up to what is the biggest one is what, 1,500 at most?
No, the Eurus and the Eurus.
There is no more.
The, the Gershwin.
Yeah.
I think the Gershwin is over 2,000.
No. I don't think there's any Broadway theater over 2,000 seats. I don't think so.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong about that. But that's what I'm saying. It's almost double what a Broadway theater would be.
Well, no. Then maybe this is about 2,000.
Oh, okay.
It's about the size of the Gershwin, maybe a little bit larger.
Okay, cool. How are the sight lines? I mean,
gorgeous. They're wonderful, and the sound system is amazing.
Mm.
It's just top notch.
Well, let me ask you: when you were in this 2,000 seat theater, seeing this, it had just opened.
Yes. Yeah.
How full or empty would you say the house was?
Oh, the house was pretty full on this one. Well, because it was in Thai, it wasn't in English, because
right.
They've had Chicago there, and they had Mamma Mia there.
Well, how did they do?
They did pretty well.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he tells you there's nothing, and I get the first part.
Yeah.
But then I think it's time's going forward, and it turns out it's a flashback. And then my problems began, but it opens up, and there's a nice little song, and I'm going, okay, this is nice. And then they have a little dialogue, and there's another song. And then there was about half an hour of dialogue, and then I'm really lost. You know? And I'm telling you, it was more than half dialogue. It needed to be cut. The musical ended up being like 3.5 hours, by the way.
No! 3.5 hours?
And the good 2 hours of it was dialogue. And repeating, one song was reprised. Had to be 5 songs.
Oh, you poor bastard. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, and I didn't know what was going on.
Right, of course.
And I'm going, who is this? I don't know who these people are. And it turns out one's his sister. But it just got so confusing that at the end of the first act, the intermission,
yeah,
I almost killed Pop. Because I'm sitting in the middle and no one can tell me what's going on because I don't know who's sitting around me.
Oh, by the way, speaking of, just to let people who are listening know what's going on, Pop is not your father.
Oh, that's right. Pop is my friend.
That's his name. His nickname.
Actually, in his 30s.
and the cool thing is all your friends in Thailand have names like this because they figure Americans can't.
They have Western nicknames.
Right, like?
Because you can't pronounce the regular names. Pop's full name is Thanachai.
Which is actually very pronounceable, you know.
Sort of.
It's the same amount of syllables as Barbara. You know,
yeah.
Or Michigan.
Guess, but anyway, but there's Pop, there's Nun, there's Nit, there's Wit, there's my new best friend is Sit.
See, wait. You have a Nun, a Nit, a Wit, and a Sit?
Yes.
Did the Nun call the witness the Sig a nitwit or something like that? I don't know.
I know. And then there's like an O and a B.
No, wait a minute. Are these their actual nicknames for all Americans or just for you?
These are nicknames. These are Americanized nicknames. And I had a travel agent named Porn.
No.
Yeah.
Where did he get that name? Does that mean something else over there? Well, no, it must not.
It doesn't mean anything over there. But, and then I had the guy who drove me to the airport last time, I swear to God, his boss made his name up, and I said, do not use that. He gave me a card, he said, ask for Mr. Donkey.
Mr. Donkey, huh?
Yeah.
If Mr. Donkey and Mr. Porn got together, that would be something interesting, I guess. Just again, to clue people in, even Les Miserables, which is one of the longest musicals ever on Broadway, even before they cut it, it ran 3 hours and 14 minutes. It was shorter than the thing you sat through in Thailand by about 15 minutes.
This was something, you know, this was the first performance of it, and, you know.
Oh, wait, it was the first preview?
No. I mean, it was the first time they performed it, and they still don't know exactly how to do the whole thing, you know?
They have the tech. But they don't have the...
They have the tech, but they don't have the artistic,
right,
you know, thing of it. And plus, I guess the guy who wrote all the songs wanted all of his songs in there. They had some really great moments on stage.
Do you know the
really
budgets?
Great moments, and then some just miserably boring stuff. Like, he comes back and he tells everyone, oh, you know, and he's just a nice, nice guy because he tries to help everyone get on with everything. But he had to come back to his girlfriend twice. I mean, the poor girlfriend, she's his girlfriend,
yeah.
And then she starts dating this other guy who comes to her house or something and has an asthma attack, and he dies.
Wait. There's an asthma attack on stage?
Yeah.
Well, that's, how do they do that? That's fantastic. How do they do that? He just like...
So he dies, but then comes back from the dead. Because he met the other boyfriend who told him it wasn't his time yet, I guess, or something.
Oh, I'm sorry. You lost me there at the... it was worth sitting through 3.5 hours to watch someone have an asthma attack hitting a big splashy musical. What a way to go. Oh.
Yeah, the asthma attack died and came back.
Did they have to sing while having the attack?
Oh, no. But he was just covered with a sheet for a while on stage.
One singular sensation.
No.
Every little breath I take. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
All right, enough of this show. Enough of that.
Okay.
But that was obviously not the best part of your trip to...
No, but it was... I have to tell you that in this this department store, the shopping mall...
Yeah.
Nexus Theater is an indoor ice skating rink in Thailand.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which was quite...
Well, it would kind of have to be indoor in Thailand.
Yeah, well, considering it's like 1,000 degrees outside, yeah.
No, I'm serious.
It's interesting they have that. You know, and in Singapore, which that is actually on the equator, they have a winter world where you can actually get... It snows all the time.
Well, you know what happened with Thailand? Used to actually have an outdoor skating rink, and 3 Polish hockey teams died there, so...
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
Drowned. That was the word. Drowned.
I don't even understand what you're saying.
You understand that very well. You know exactly what the joke is.
I know.
Or you tell me if you understand this joke. My wife, this one over my wife's head. Or so she said, and then she acknowledged that she did get the joke. She just didn't find it funny and wanted to torture me. All right.
Okay.
Why? I mean, yes, this is racist and offensive and horrible, but... Why do Polish cemeteries bury their dead with their asses sticking up out of the ground?
So there's some place to plant the flowers?
Cute and very close. No, so the mourners have a place to park their bicycles.
Oh, horrible.
I love that joke. I've loved that joke for years. But Joyce is looking at me like, She had me explain it to her. And then she said, no, I got it, Dave. I just wanted to torture you by making you explain the joke to me.
I would have done that. I was actually planning on doing that, but I said, Michael, rather than making you explain the horrible joke on the radio.
I love that.
Not on the radio as it is.
No, on the web, on the...
On the radio-less web.
Radio-less. So, Jeff, now that you're back on Long Island... what are your plans for, like, Thanksgiving and the holidays and the rest of the year?
I plan to go to Thanksgiving to one of my, this family who always has me over for Thanksgiving.
Very nice.
And then I'm going to Vegas.
So one place you go to even more often than Thailand.
That's right.
Now, be honest, have you, if you were to tally up all the times that you went to Las Vegas, did you lose thousands? Tens of thousands, hundreds. I mean, how did you make out?
Not even hundreds yet.
Really? You end up?
Because I just recently started on the Vegas kick.
Yeah. Okay. And
I just started Vegas sizing.
But you don't pay for huge bucks, but you do play for more than like I ever would. I mean, you'll play at a $50 table or something like that.
Oh no, I don't do that. I like to play. I play Pai-Gow, which is a slow game. And if I play, you know, blackjack, I like to find a $5 or $10 table.
So you can go for like 2 hours and maybe drop $100 kind of thing.
Oh yeah, well you can drop $100 in 10 minutes.
Oh okay, well, but maybe you do okay. You do well enough that you've only lost a few hundred, even after all these times that you've
won. Well, no, sometimes I do badly and sometimes I do better.
Okay.
But let's put it all in. All the times I think maybe only once or twice I've come home ahead.
Hmm.
That's why they give me the free rooms.
Well, yeah. If you think of it as a vacation and you deduct what a hotel would normally cost and the free food probably that you get, you know, that has to be...
It works itself out because the casinos will offer you all these free rooms and then you can take that money that you would have spent at the room and you can gamble with it and have fun.
Yeah, which of course they take into consideration, but it's good to keep in mind. Anyway, Jeff Goodman... great to hear you sounding so great. Glad you had a wonderful time on your trips. Wishing you happy, healthy holidays, a great fall and holiday season, and come back soon to the neighborhood.
Well, if you call, I'll be on.
You got it, man.
You know me. I'm always there.
I know.
I'm a partial... I'm going to buy a condo in the neighborhood.
Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies plus 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman, their service can't be duplicated. Give the gift of entertainment to yourself or others by sharing a Dave's Gone By CD. From Reckless Eric to Joe Franklin, Christine Lavin to Uncle Floyd, Dave's Gone By CDs provide hours of laughs, great conversation, and music. CDs are just $10, shipping included, and you can order at our website, davesgoneby.org. Reserve your corner of the neighborhood. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider and TotalTheater.com.
Yes, we go inside Broadway to let you know what's going on the stages of New York. And I guess the word of the week this holiday week is extension. A lot of off-Broadway shows are adding a couple of weeks to their runs because they're pretty popular. Among the shows that are announcing the happy news are the brother-sister plays, which is playing at the Public Theater. That's going to run an extra week till December 20th. Also, the Actors Company Theater revival of the Sidney Howard comedy The Late Christopher Bean that was supposed to close on December 5th, but they've added a couple of weeks as well. You've got The Lady with All the Answers. That's the one with Judith Ivey playing Ann Landers. That's been extended 3 weeks at the Cherry Lane Theater to December 20th. And very popular show Love, Loss, and What I Wore, playing at Off-Broadway's West Side Theater, recently extended all the way to the spring. You know, that's the one with Rosie O'Donnell and Michelle Lee and Deborah Monkall taking sort of revolving turns in the cast. Tracy Ellis Ross is in it now. She was from that show called Girlfriends. Speaking of Judith Ivey, by the way, she's going to be in a production of The Glass Menagerie off-Broadway next year, also in 2010, which is a fairly appropriate year because Keir DeLay was in the movie 2001 and the movie 2010. Well, now in the year 2010, he will be playing in a revival of Robert Anderson's play I Never Sang for My Father. It's a father-son drama, and it's going to be off-Broadway on Theater Row sometime in March. So what's going on as far as plays that are opening? You had the big musical Fela, which is about a most happy, or sometimes happy fella, the South African musician. God, I'm making terrible jokes tonight. Also, just opened was Sarah Rule's In the Next Room, or The Vibrator Play, a comedy drama about women being treated for a doctor by a doctor for hysteria years and years ago. Well, he discovers a little electric gadget that makes them feel better, a lot better. But while this is going on, he and his wife aren't quite on the same wavelength. And rather than being a smutty, naughty comedy, although apparently there's a little of that, Sarah Rule's play In the Next Room is really about the way women were treated and viewed at the turn of a century, and how their bonding with each other was a step towards a new kind of life in America. It's been kind of a love-it-or-hate-it play with audiences, but the reviews were very strong, so this looks like it might be the play to beat for the Tony Award this year, and possibly even the Pulitzer. The New York Times liked it quite a lot, and listener John Simon over at Bloomberg, "Wonders will never cease. Sarah Rule, whose previous work I execrated..." What a great word. He execrated it. "This time has written a smart, charming, iridescently funny, serious jewel." Well, the In the Next Room, the Vibrator Play, is scheduled through January at the Lyceum Theater. I'll bet Lincoln Center, which is the actual producer of the piece, bet they keep it going until March to think about Pulitzer opportunities, and maybe even till May, June, if they think if they have a real stab at the Tonys. Well, we've got a real stab at a commercial, and then we will be back not only with a review of the Broadway show Superior Donuts, but also a contest that you can enter to win a really cool Broadway CD. Back after this. They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, and you can see them shine off Broadway too. And if you love the theater scene, you need this special magazine. Performing Arts Insider is for you. Everything you want to know about theater, cabaret, opera, and dance, 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511 or performingartsinsider.com. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By and Inside Broadway. Well, I was back in New York City and going to some Broadway shows a few weeks ago, even though I'm now living in Colorado, and one of the plays I saw was the newest by Tracy Letts. He is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of August, Osage County. He also wrote Bug and Killer Joe. Well, his new play is really, I wouldn't say it's a retrenchment, but it's certainly a much more old-fashioned and standard kind of piece, and it's called Superior Donuts, playing right now on Broadway, although they just announced that it's going to be closing January 3rd, so you only have a couple of weeks to go see it. It's not doing very well. The critics liked it, for the most part, quite a bit. I think they were a little gentle with it, and audiences enjoy it while they're watching it, but I think they treated this one a bit with kid gloves. It stars Michael McKean as a Polish donut maker in a rundown section of Chicago, and it's just the neighborhood's getting worse and worse, and he's still got this little donut place, and he's not doing anything to improve it either. He's just kind of there. Just barely there enough to make coffee and get his little donuts going in the morning, and serving a clientele that's getting smaller and smaller and occasionally more and more dangerous. Well, an aspiring black writer, young fella, comes in, begs for a job, and he's so charismatic, of course, the donut maker hires him, later to find out that this charismatic fella, who's also a novelist, is in debt very heavily to a loan shark, and that's why he needs the job so bad. So, you know, it's a cute setup. It is mostly a comedy. Tina Landau directs like it is some kind of 1970s Broadway comedy drama, which it really is. It feels like something that could have been put on TV by Norman Lear back in the 1970s. Everybody's amusing and likable and gets off good quips, and it's just a little bit BS-y. Well, no, more than a little bit. It's got moments like, young black writer challenges Arthur, the owner of the donut store, to name 12 black poets. Now, Arthur, who's kind of a former hippie and avoiding the draft and all that kind of thing, they make a bet on it. Not only does he win that bet, but he rattles them off. I mean, we're not just talking of Mary Baraka, but like people you and I really have never heard of unless you're black and really into black poets. And it's just one of those moments where the audience really applauds, and it's funny, and it's cute, and it's just not even remotely 1 second in the real world. And that kind of thing bothers me. And you're making a comedy, I realize that, but it's for sophisticated people, and that is a very unsophisticated moment, and there's quite a few of them in Superior Donuts. But I will give the show this. You have, an arc and a storyline, and it reaches a climax, and it's both funny and scary, as it's supposed to be. Okay, fine. And then there's the denouement. There's that last scene where we find out what happens to the characters in the future. Or at least we surmise what will happen to them. And usually these things are only 2 or 3 minutes long. We need a little something after the big climax just to get us out the door in a happy way. But in this piece, the author, Tracy Letts, really sits down with the characters and watches them for about 10 or 15 minutes. And he treats them seriously and takes their problems really seriously. And we realize not everybody's going to have a particularly happy ending. These are people are going to be going through a tough time. It isn't that all their hard stuff is over and we watched it and it's a comedy, so they're going to be all right. So I give him props for that. And that long last scene really makes Superior Donuts a better play than it would have been had he been pretty much like the rest of the show, real kind of cliche and BS-y. So can I recommend it? Yeah. Not strongly. It's a crowd pleaser. It's kind of nice to see Tracy Letts can write a really slick commercial play. I just wish he'd do one that felt like 2009 instead of 1974. Okay, contest time. The Sound of Your Poetry could win you The Sound of Music. Sony Masterworks has just re-released the original Broadway cast recording of The Sound of Music, the Rodgers and Hammerstein show, marking the musical's 50th anniversary. And of course, it's remastered, so it sounds really good, and they've got 3 bonus tracks on the CD, and Sony has been very kind in sending me an extra copy just so I could give it away to listeners to Dave's Gone By and Inside Broadway. So how do you enter this contest? Get out your pens and your quills, because I need you to write a poem, a short little poem, 4 to 8 lines at most, about The Sound of Music. So you can either write a poem about the story of it, you know, the Von Trapps. You can talk about the movie, either seriously or make fun of it, or the show, or Julie Andrews, or whatever. It's The Sound of Music. And your poem, by the way, can be any style. It can be rhymed or free verse, funny, sad, serious, berserk, go crazy, or not. And I will choose the best poem that I get. You got to email it to paipress@aol.com. That's P as in Peter, paipress@aol.com. And I need to get it by 11:59 p.m. November 30th, just before it turns into December. We'll contact the winner directly, and we'll announce the winner on davesgoneby.org, and we will send you, the winner, that copy of The Sound of Music 50th Anniversary CD from Sony Masterworks. So gather ye Edelweiss while ye may, and pull the whiskers off your kittens. It's time to get writing and win. Alas, it's also time for me to finish this segment and get back to the rest of Dave's Gone By, but remember, we're always 16 going on 17 here, Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
Oh, honey, make sweet love to me.
Huh?
Can't you put down that stupid book?
In a minute, dear.
You said that 20 minutes ago. What's so special about marriage, babies, and the end of the world?
Well, it's a collection of plays by radio host Dave Lefkowitz.
Why do you want to read a bunch of plays?
Because they're hilarious.
How'd you even buy that book?
Online at davesgoneby.org. $20. And they've got trade paperbacks for $12.
You would rather read Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World than ride me like a hot stallion?
Well, maybe we can compromise. Wow, I love this book! Oh, and you too, hon.
Hey, everybody, this is Denise Winston, your money and life skills expert, and you are listening to Days Gone By.
Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes the world go round,
it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck, or a pound, a buck. Or a pound, a buck, or a pound, is all that makes the world go round. That clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round.
Money, 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 money if you happen to be rich and you feel like a night's entertainment, you can pay for a gay escapade. If you happen to be rich and alone and you need a companion, you can ring ding-a-ling for the mate. If you happen to be rich and you find you are left by your lover, though you moan and you groan quite a lot, you can take it on the chin, call a cab, and begin to recover on your 14-carat yacht. Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, of that we can be sure. I'm being poor.
Money, 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 money.
Dave's Gone By, and one of the things that we almost never ever talk about on this program is finance, handling money, money matters, things like that. A, because you can get that everywhere else on half the cable channels and all the news channels ever since the recession. There's always 10 different stories every night about how you can save money at the grocery or what you should be doing about college planning and all that kind of thing. It bores the hell out of me usually, even though it's important stuff. And since you can get it everywhere else, I figure, why talk about that here? But this time we've got sort of a new angle. We have a money and finance expert who's going to be talking with us, but the fun part of our conversation with Denise Winston is going to be her experiences working at a bank for 25 years. Now, you work anywhere for 2.5 decades, you're going to have weird things, crazy stories, lunatic people that you're dealing with. I don't care if you work in the grocery. I don't care if you even work in, say, you know, a mortgage insurance place or the vault of a library. You're going to have some crazy, nutty, fun things that have happened. So I'm expecting to hear quite a few from our guest, our very chipper and delightful guest, Denise Winston. Denise, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, Dave. Thanks for having me. I love to talk about the fun things that have happened in the bank during my years at work. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
See, I told everybody she was chipper. There you go. So can you say, what bank were you at and what were you doing there for all those years?
What's great during that 25-year period is to know that acquisitions happen over a period of time. So basically for the past 25 years, I had worked for 12 different banks.
Oh my
God. I actually ended up resigning from Chase. It was acquired by WaMu, but Bank of America, First Interstate Bank, gosh, the list is quite extensive with 12 of them there.
So wait, Chase and WaMu, they just merged like last week. Because I went to the bank. Yeah, I know. I went to the bank, and I was kind of really excited because they had coffee and cookies and brownies on the table. Now, I mean, banks normally have coffee, but when I see cookies, this is an exciting thing for me because I lead such a sheltered and terrible life. So I'm seeing cookies. I'm like, what's going on? And he said, oh, well, we're celebrating because they're saying they just took over WaMu, not the other way around, or they merged or whatever it was. So this is recent, though.
They just did their conversion. The computer conversion happened, so it was where actually the online banking took place and everything was converted to the Chase systems, which can be a very interesting time inside the bank because so much is going on behind the scenes to make that seamless to the customers.
But you left or were excised or what's the deal? How long ago?
I left Chase in April of 2009 to actually pursue my own mission to actually make money matters fun and really talk to people about the stuff that they need to know, not this high finance, you know, commentator stuff that confuses people. I just want to teach people the basics and make money fun and sexy.
Well, sounds good to me. And by the way, I should mention, one of the reasons that I didn't go with that joke that you made of being 12 when you first started is this is radio, or at least audio on the computer, so people don't necessarily know what you look like, but you are very pretty, so I'll tell everybody that. You're very pretty and attractive, and therefore it is surprising that you've worked for 25 years and look so young. So now I've explained it.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, let also explain, what are the two or three things that people should really know about what to do with their money, not even just in a recession time, but any time?
Well, number one, they need to understand the importance of their credit score and some simple strategies that they can use to actually manage that, because that's the three numbers that can dictate your life and can either cost you or save you thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's the one thing I would say to make sure you pay attention to, and that includes making sure you make your payments on time. A lot of times we're very busy with mail and all kinds of things, so a bill might get misplaced underneath our child's artwork or something like that. We need to just make that one our number one priority, because in this day and age, you can dictate whether or not you get a job, whether or not you can rent an apartment, the price of any loans that you're going to get. So it is quite an often overlooked number in the economy that's happening now. Second thing I would say is that people can just really shop for a bank and make sure they're utilizing any free services like online bill pay at the bank or avoiding monthly service charges in addition to avoiding ATM fees. And the other one would just be simply be, you know how much your income is and how much you're spending each month. Once a year, sit down and run those numbers and make sure that you're not overdoing it in any area and try and build up a cash reserve. I know those are all things that everybody says have 6 months, but the reality is we don't all have 6 months of money in the bank and how do we try and live life comfortably and make some good financial decisions.
I mean, the killer of it is a couple of things. First of all, you can go down and outline your finances, but in this economy, with people being downsized, you can try very desperately to live within your means, and it is still pretty much impossible for a lot of people to go beyond paycheck to paycheck. I mean, you can skim left and right and to the middle, and it's still, you know, it's not as easy as saying, well, maybe you're spending too much on this, or maybe you're not putting the right amount of money towards this. A lot of people just don't have it, period, and have to keep that rolling debt. It sucks, but it's true.
It is very true, and that's what I want to do. I want to be the reality check and say, okay, in certain circumstances, what's your, you know, what can you do? And really, the bottom line is we just need to survive and figure out smart ways and strategies to just live within our means and do what we can for the period that we have to recover.
Now, let me ask, on your one sheet, which is like the flyer that you hand out in order to, you know, to get out there and promote yourself and to get on radio and to get on television, the one thing that you talk about is making money sexy, since that, you know, gets people to hire you and talk to you. And you say the true cost of sex, the most overlooked financial implications of having nookie. Huh?
Yeah. You know, there's financial implications of that. And it's very interesting to think about, but when you think about it, if you are having sex, there is the cost of the date, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
There is actually the cost of any form of birth control that's there. We have other costs of, you know, contracting other types of, you know, if you're going to have a child, then that is the most expensive cost. So a lot of times people really look at, they're not thinking about the financial implications of what having sex is going to be. The other thing is if you are in a good relationship and you are having sex, then you're probably much more healthy. Therefore, you're able to go out into the workforce, and if you're in a good state of being, you're probably going to be much more productive. So when you look at all of those, you have to think, in my world, every decision that I make somehow relates back to money.
Okay.
Every decision I make somehow influences my financial health. So to me, that's one of the things that people need to be thinking about if they are out having relations, whether they be protected or unprotected. There are additional costs that go along with that.
See, for me, usually the cost is about $50, you know, on the West Side Highway with a $3 tip. But that's
I did have somebody say, you know, it is it's not the cost of a prostitute and it's not the cost of a condom. The gentleman that actually said that to me, believe it or not, had just gone to a 3-day pickup artist school to learn how to pick up chicks.
Yeah. How'd he do?
Well, he was trying to put his moves on me, and I can tell you he wasn't very successful. I don't think he was prepared to talk to someone about how much this conversation was really costing him.
How much? I wonder how much did they charge for that seminar?
$1,200.
How much?
$1,200.
Woo! Okay. Well.
It was not cheap. And his first comment to me was that the true cost of sex was the cost of a condom. And after the conversation, I realized that it was really the cost of the date and also the cost of the workshop that he had just gone to for 3 days.
Well, talk about weird. See, this leads us right into weird, interesting people that you've probably come across. I'm talking to Denise Winston, by the way, on Dave's Gone By, who had been in the banking industry for about 25 years. Now, you figure banking would be so dull and boring and just numbers and computers. But, as you said, there were some interesting things that happened, such as...
My favorite is, kind of goes with a financial clutter. A lot of times people have a lot of clutter, but this is how bad someone's clutter was. Client walked up to my window when I was in the bank. I was very young at the time, and she placed her handbag on the counter and proceeded to pull out her checkbook and wallet. Along with that came cockroaches crawling out over the edge of the purse all over my counter.
What did she say?
Her eyesight wasn't the best, and she didn't seem to even notice the crawling on her hand.
Okay, that is that maybe more than clutter. That could also be, at a certain point, senility or, I don't know, or just bad hygiene. I don't know.
It was the most frightening thing to ever, so you can imagine now my purse is immaculate. So I actually teach that as a subject. When you're going somewhere, you don't want to open your handbag and have things falling out everywhere, including roaches.
But what happened when, did you jump up? Did you scream? Did you get the guard? Did you start stomping?
I jumped back.
Yeah.
And started, because one of them had gone down on the floor, and I started stomping them. And pretty much after that, I think I just blacked out and, you know, ran to the supervisor at that point and, like, screamed. I'm sure I finished the transaction and continued on. But, of course, you know, going back in the break room, I had to gather myself back together. Because on top of that, I had a Snickers hidden back behind the cubby that I was eating in between clients, and you can bet that went in the trash.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Now, you also mentioned that someone came into the bank at one point and had something else crawl out, not from their purse, but...
Yes, well... I was actually the manager at the time, and I'm sitting there interviewing the client for getting a loan, and she's there with her spouse, and she's a middle-aged woman, and she has a lot of hair, and it's very curly, and it's long down to about, you know, the mid of her back. So we're sitting there talking, and the next thing you know, I see from behind her neck a rat crawl down between her breast and rest around her stomach.
Oh.
And I about... died. I screamed.
Yeah.
And come to find out, this was her pet that lives on her body.
Okay. Now let me ask you: did this woman and her husband appear completely normal until that moment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they did. I had no idea. And you know, that's the most interesting thing. When you're working in a bank, you don't know what someone might have in their handbag or what their situation is. When you think about it, when you're at the grocery and you're checking out, you can see what somebody has in the grocery cart, right?
Yeah.
You can get a kind of an idea of what kind of lifestyle they're living. But when someone's at the bank, you don't know what their, you know, financial baggage is or what any other baggage or what might be actually on their person.
Yeesh. Yeesh.
And
now,
come in all shapes and sizes and creeds, correct?
Well, yeah.
It taught me to just understand that everybody has something that's very near and dear to them, and just because it's different doesn't make it wrong. It just is, you know. I've heard that rats are a fantastic pet.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. I'm
just, the tail was just gross. It was just icky to me.
I mean, we had, when we first moved here a couple of months ago, we would wake up in the morning and we had noticed, I guess, that there was a mouse in the house. And it's just, I mean, I'm sure they're really adorable around here. We saw one in the street. But the idea of a mouse in our house that is not our pet, I mean, immediately the mouse traps went up. You know, we had our dogs on alert. Like, if you see it, bark! You know, as if our dogs would understand what we're telling them to do. But, hasn't made his presence felt, but then again, we tended to wrap our snacks and things a little more carefully after that. But
yes, you just never know when you're sitting there watching television and see something run across the floor.
Did anybody ever try to bring another kind of weird animal? I'm not talking like a seeing eye dog, but anybody ever bring a potbelly pig?
Said that. I can tell you most recently, just before I resigned at the bank, I was sitting at the desk, and a woman walked in with a wolf.
What?
It was a real wolf, and she was using it as her dog.
Okay. And she brought it into the bank. She didn't, like, tie it up outside at the parking
lot. No. She brought it in like a service dog. It had on a, what you would call, like, a little vest, and it said service dog. It wasn't an official service dog, but you could look at this dog when she was, presenting this dog. It was clearly a wolf. It had a very distinct look, act about it. It was very tame.
Oh, okay.
However, it will put you on guard because you know it's not a dog.
Well, I mean, I would be on guard even if it was a pit bull dog. I mean, there's some dogs you got to be on guard about anyway, but did she finish her transaction and or did you tell her, bring the wolf outside and then come back?
No. You know, of course, I am a dog lover, so I had to engage in conversation and ask her specifically, you know, you think it's a wolf, but you have to ask just to confirm your suspicion. And she did confirm that, yes, it was a wolf, and it was her service dog. She did live up in the mountains, and I didn't get the further details of where she acquired this animal or how it became tame. And
is that legal for her? Is that actually legal for a person, even in the mountains, to have a guard wolf, a service wolf, as it were?
It was a question that I did have. However, I did not get answered because I had to conduct the rest of the transaction the office. That's the one thing about, you know, working in the public and working in the financial services industry. You are open during a period of time, and you are at the client's beck and call. And when things like this come up, you address them and you move on. We've had lots of things happen within the lobby, and you just never know. Being robbed is one of them.
I was going to ask about that. I figure 25 years at a bank, you would have witnessed or been, or been close part of, in a manner of speaking, a robbery. What was that like?
Well, two of them, you know, some of them are quite humorous, but I'll tell you the humorous one first, and then I have a very serious one, which was quite frightening, but it had a little laughter in it. There was a guy, I worked in a very small community, and we had a bank, and we actually got robbed by a guy on his bicycle wearing a t-shirt with red flames going down it. And he walked in and he passed a note. It was a very, you know, you either have note passer robberies or you have takeover robberies or somewhere in between. And this guy was a note passer.
Yeah.
And he basically came in, got the money, and
Quick question. He came in, did it look like he had any kind of a weapon?
No.
Why wouldn't the guard
just say, this is a robbery, give me the money?
Well, why give him the money? Why not just have the guard sort of shoot him or pounce on him?
Well, because you don't want to jeopardize the client's or your health or safety, anybody else's health and safety. And you never know if someone does actually have a gun. You know, and you don't know about their mental stability. So there's a lot of different things that are taken into consideration when you're under those circumstances.
So you gave him the dough, he went out the door, and like a block later... What?
He hopped on his bicycle,
yeah.
And he's pedaling down the street, and you call the cops, and it's a very easy description to give. There's a gentleman on a bicycle, about 45 years old, wearing a red t-shirt with flames on it, and he's riding his bicycle northbound.
See, that was my mistake. I should have changed my T-shirt as soon as I got outside the bank. I don't know.
He was truly looking for three hots and a cot, as the police said. He was just looking to be arrested to be placed back in jail so they'd have a place to sleep and food to eat.
So when he passed the note, how much money did they give him?
Well, you know, it's always an undisclosed amount.
Oh, okay.
And I can't, unfortunately,
sure,
reveal those things within the industry, even though I'm no longer in the industry. I want to protect those that are in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you go into the vault and start handing them all.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. What happened
What's really interesting on that note is, you know, the banks really don't carry a lot of money. When people come into the bank and they want to withdraw large sums, you know, if you think about it, it's not an unlimited supply. You don't keep cash on hand. Because, you know, number one, you're not earning interest on it, and number two, there are costs associated with actually funneling money, you know, not funneling, but transferring money in and out. You've got to make sure it's just like supply and demand. If you had groceries on the counter, you've got to make sure that you have what you need.
So the other robbery that you endured, and that's certainly the word for it, was not so amusing.
It was not. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it was daylight in California, and a gentleman, not a gentleman, but a masked man in broad daylight walks in, and he is covered from head to toe. He has a mask on. He has gloves on. You cannot tell his race, his age. You know, there's no markings. The only thing you hear is his voice, and he has a gun in his hand, and it is a real gun. You can tell when a gun is real and when it's not real. So he walks into the bank, and he's, you know, pointing the gun around and telling everybody to get down on the ground. And there's a lobby full of clients. And so, you know, some people hit the floor immediately, and I'm just standing there because you're kind of like the parent trying to decide what needs to happen, and it just happens with you. But he goes to the tellers, and he points the gun at him and hands them the bag and says, "Give me all your large and 20s. Well, the teller says, "You want it, you're getting it all." So she gives him everything, including her rolled coin and you name it. And so the guy, you know, he wants to get away with a very light load, but she gave him his change and everything. And then there was one really large employee that we had, and he said hit the ground, and I'm telling you, this girl was on the floor.
Right.
And unfortunately, one of the girls, it was her second day at work.
And last time,
did not come back.
Yeah. Well, wait, so he grabbed this incredibly heavy sack of money and change and left?
He left, and here's the really interesting part. He did leave. The scary thing for the person that's been robbed is that for a long period of time, since you couldn't tell, you know, how old he was or what he looked like, you just hear his voice. When you're in the mall and you hear somebody talking, you think it's his voice, you hear it, and then every time you answer the phone, you're quite, you know, afraid.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. One thing I could tell about him is that he had been in the military based on the way that he spoke with authority and his command. It's interesting what you can hear from somebody and recognize just in their voice. But about 2 months later, he actually ended up shooting himself and committed suicide during another robbery, and it was in Orange City.
Oh, lovely. Well, how did they know it was him? It was the same modus operandi, or
yeah, it was the same situation, and there was some other connections that when they did their investigation, that they were able to tell who was who, and they did confirm. And it's kind of like, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. It was a huge sigh of relief for everybody on staff.
Right on.
He was actually gone and was no longer going to be an issue.
Huh. That's a horrible, but it's a great story. I'd rather go out on something a little more amusing and humorous, though. Any other fun, wild, kooky, zany clients, customers, or colleagues?
Go ahead.
Or colleagues. It could also be your people you've worked with over the past 45 years. Just nutty stuff.
Well, I can tell you one of the cutest things that I had happen in my 25 years is I had a little old lady come into the bank, and she had her check register. And she would go to the grocery every week, and what she would do at the grocery to hide money from her husband was she would write the check for $10 more than the actual grocery so she could save money to buy her husband a birthday and Christmas gift.
Oh.
Where she came up with the money. Wasn't that sweet?
Yeah. Oh, but I want funny. Sweet is cute, but I'm not a sweet guy. I'm a pretty, you know, nasty, goofy guy. So give me something more funny.
Okay, well, this is really awful, but I did have a lady lift her dress and relieve herself on the chair.
Oh, no.
I was on the phone with a back office support department.
Yeah.
And I told them nicely, you know, I really need to go right now. And we were in a very serious issue trying to fix something. And they said, well, what could be so important? I said, well, and I explained. And they just couldn't believe it. Because a lot of times people from back office may not realize what's going on in the front office and how urgent a situation might be, like someone exposing themselves and urinating on the floor.
Now, did she apologize? Did she...
I don't know. I do believe that she was actually intoxicated.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. And again, these things just happen. You just don't know when and where something's going to happen. You can look at somebody and they're perfectly fine, and the next thing you know, maybe they're not.
Oh, I mean, it's totally true. I was talking to one of the waiters at Delhi back on Long Island, and he said, oh, he's been there for years and years, and stuff happens. And there was a woman sitting down. They were eating. And I think it was an older lady who may have had control issues, as it were, and suddenly there's a puddle right by the table. Not everybody can make it to the loo or wants to. So, I did not see that with my own eyes. Or
but
smell
I
it.
I tell you, they do happen, and we've even had some even more disgusting things, which I won't go into.
Oh, yes, oh, please, you must. Did somebody defecate?
We did have a gentleman that did have that control issue, but he also was having, it was not urine.
He left a deposit?
He did leave a deposit at the bank, a very liquidy deposit, in the chair. And
yeah.
That, he couldn't get up, so we had to figure out how to get him out without having even more of an issue.
So he had semi.
We decided to get a rolling chair and put his feet in a trash bag to the restroom, and then we had to dispose of the chair. And you can imagine everybody in the location is really having a fit. Reaction of disgust. And it was really a very difficult, you know, one of those times where you go, I can't believe I'm laughing, but what do you do with yourself when you can't? It's just a very difficult position to be in, but you have to do, I have a thing, professionals act as they must, not as they feel.
Well, oh yeah. And besides, everybody has different liquid assets, you know.
Oh my gosh, you are so bad.
I know,
so
I know.
Bad.
But you have been really, really good, Denise Winston. It's been absolutely so much fun. See, I told everybody, I told you all, that you would be chipper and delightful, and even though it's all about money and finance and banking, we have a hell of a time. Well, didn't we? But I do want, Denise, please, to tell us how people can find out about what you do and to get more of your advice and to contact you if they need to, or at least read your stuff.
They can actually go to moneystarthere.com or denisewinston.com. And I do provide corporate wellness in the workplace where we do workshops, because a lot of times what happens is when people are not financially well, and I call it being financially sick, it does spill over into every aspect of their life. And I am about the basics. I have no get-rich schemes, no quick, you know, anything. I'm just about the basics. And I have programs for teens and young adults. I have programs for adults, and I have programs for parents. Again, just teaching the basics, trying to make money, something that's fun and light, not where people roll over their eyes and it's the same old thing that everybody's heard. And what I do is best is I entwine these stories about real-life experiences and keep it interesting and fun, because life is interesting and fun, and we can have a great time. We just have to figure out how to do it.
Well, you figured it out perfectly for this program. Remember, everybody, it's moneystarthere.com, or probably easier to remember even, denisewinston.com, spelled exactly as you think it would be spelled. Denise, I want to wish you your best of luck with the consulting, with all your projects, and with your money and your finances in this time. And if you have any more great stories from past or future, please, please do come back to the neighborhood and share them with us.
I will do absolutely that. You and your listeners have a fantastic afternoon. Enjoy the savings.
And still there never seems to be a single penny. Or sponsor me. Dave's gone by. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Dave's Gone By.
There goes the neighborhood.
Dave's Gone By.
There goes the
neighborhood.
Dave's Gone By.
There goes the neighborhood.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, this bank holiday edition of the show. Alas, it's time to make a withdrawal from the neighborhood. Time to leave. It goes so quickly here, doesn't it? And if you like what we do, please drop me an email and let me know at davesgoneby@AOL.com. That's Dave, like my name, davesgoneby@AOL.com. And also check out all sorts of things about this program at davesgoneby.org. And that includes photos, the history of the show, and hundreds, literally hundreds, of vintage episodes of this program, all free. You can stream them, download them to your iPod, check them out in the archives at davesgoneby.org. And please also check out our wonderful sponsors, and those include Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway since 1944. Go to performingartsinsider.com for more information, and go to davesgoneby.org to find out how you can subscribe for a really cool discount rate. This program is also brought to you by TotalTheater.com, with 2,500 theater reviews are on there now, and a few hundred feature stories as well, all about theater all over the world at TotalTheater.com. Programs brought to you by Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, where Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. Check them out at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, New York, right opposite the old and wonderful Newman's. And finally, this program is brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons, which is balloons and centerpieces to make your party look special. 516-797-3229 is Jeff's number at Fancy Schmancy. 797-3229. Shouldn't your event be a fancy schmancy one? A couple of reminders, too, that Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Sol Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour. Well, you can watch all 10 episodes of that great show on YouTube.com. They're kind of broken up. You know, they're in four or five different parts because YouTube wasn't letting you stream the whole half hour at a time. But they're all there. You put them all together and watch them and enjoy them. Shalom Dammit, the Rabbi's Show. Want to say a big shout out to Denise Winston and thank her for being such a fun guest, talking about something as boring as money, and also working in the bank all those years. But to find out more about what she does, go to moneystarthere.com. Moneystarthere.com. Don't forget about our Sound of Music contest, where you can win a copy of the 50th anniversary CD from Sony Masterworks of The Sound of Music. All you got to do is write that little poem, 4 to 8 lines, and email it to me at paipress@aol.com. paipress@aol.com. We will choose one winner, and we will mail you that CD. Well, a couple of get-wells and shout-outs and things like that. Shout-out to Jane Flynn, the Queen of Trivia, who has a new book out called The Best Trivia Book Ever Written, with three exclamation points literally on the book. Only thing that makes me wonder is, what does that say about her previous book? Anyway, Prairie Heath Publishing is the one putting that out, so if you're thinking of cool gift ideas for the holidays, you could do worse than Jane Flynn's Best Trivia Book Ever. I guess you'd be doing worse by doing her second book, second best trivia book. Sorry about that. Anyway, reminder that Uta Lemper has just been added to the lineup at Joe's Pub December 10th through the 13th, and also appearing at Joe's Pub that month, Isha, yay, Isha, December 11th through the 12th, and Jill Sabuel and Aaron McEwen are doing a, not duet really, but they're going on the road together, doing a cabaret show. They're playing at Denver, Colorado's Walnut Room, November 27th. Had to sneak that in there as a new Coloradan. But there will also be December 4th at the Highline Ballroom in New York. And one more reminder, that Theodore Bekel, who was interviewed by Rabbi Saul a couple of weeks ago, he's still playing in Shalom Aleichem Laughter Through Tears at the Baruch Performing Arts Center off-Broadway through December 13th. Well, just remains for me to do a couple of thank yous and to be thankful to God, the fates, whoever, for making this, knock wood, a pretty good year so far. I don't want to give, as my folks would say, a kanaya hurra, but, you know, it's been a hectic and tumultuous year. But I got to thank God for a lot of things, and I hope that in your lives you do too. I want to thank Jeff Goodman for being a good friend and really helping us open the show the way we used to back when he was my co-host on Dave's Gone By for a couple of years. I want to thank Mom and Dad Lefkowitz and wishing them well. Mama and Papa Weil for the same thing. I want to thank TJ and Katrina for a lovely meal a couple of weeks ago. That was really neat. And also my adorable and hardworking and wonderful and terrific wife, Joyce. Well, coming soon, hopefully, a beloved figure from children's television, going to be on Dave's Gone By, and also a very cool cabaret singer as well. So keep listening. But for now, it's time to leave the neighborhood. I'll be back in a week or two with the 322nd episode of Dave's Gone By. Wow. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night, happy turkey leftovers, and gone by.